Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 232 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and her honesty. Say what? Yeah, it's going to be a great show. And just know that before we begin, that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. Why? Because we love to hear from you, and we want to know all about your thoughts, especially with this very provocative show. All right, it's time for Her. How many times have you out there in the Her podcast land heard these wonderful words? Would I lie to you? Yeah, brought back some pretty interesting memories, didn't it? Well, believe it or not, there's now a book, and it's awesome. I love this book. Run out and get it. It's called Would I Lie to You? The Amazing Power of Being Honest in a World That Lies. And honey, all you have to do is turn on the television and hit politics to, I mean, I'm not even going to go there. So that's how bad that one is. Who is our guest? Well, it's Judy Kettler. She's been writing stories since she was old enough to hold a pencil. So last year, she got her professional start working as a copywriter for a small agency. She's been a full-time freelance writer ever since 2002. She's an award-winning essayist, and she's contributed to dozens of publications. I can't even begin to tell you how many. She's also the author of two books about sewing. Oh my gosh, does that bring back bad memories for me? Judy, I just got to tell you. Judy, welcome to... Yeah, I know. It's like I had 25 fingers. That's what that one looked like. Judy, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for that great introduction. It was hard to stifle my laughter.
I know. It's like, Jesus, you know, she's just tripping all over herself and having way fun. Why in the heck did you write this book about honesty, especially in this day and age? Loser, you know, nobody's honest out there. Oh, my gosh. Tell me.
Well, so there was a couple of reasons. And one of the reasons was exactly because everything you alluded to. Like, I felt like the world was so dishonest, and I was frustrated by the dishonesty that just seemed like it was coming at me right and left, you know, whether it was the from the world of politics or, you know, another corporate scandal or social media, just knowing that people weren't really representing themselves in an honest way. So frustration. But then I've always had this relationship with honesty. Like, I expect honesty from other people, and I get really angry when I feel like they're not being honest with me. But yet I also have deep shame about the lies that I have told, like lies, you know, ever going back to when I was a kid, and I would feel embarrassed about something and I would tell a lie to cover it up. And then I would just like feel deep shame for days about the lie. So it's like this push and pull of frustrated with others' lies, but ashamed of my own. And I've never been able to work it out. And I think everything just came to a head at once, where the world felt so dishonest. And I was like, you know what? I need to get to the bottom of this honesty thing once and for all and just try to write my way through it. So that is what led me to first write a piece for the New York Times about keeping an honesty journal, just starting to pay attention to throughout the day, the choices I was making about honesty, and then ultimately that led to writing the book.
Wow. Well, you know, I read the piece in the New York Times, and it was just fabulous. And that's why I immediately reached out to you saying, you know, some crazy ass person has written about honesty. This I got to hear. I'm sorry. We're living in such an insane time that it's I think that most people are finding it hard to trust much of anyone. Did they really mean that? What are they trying to cover up? What's going on? And yet, you know, it's interesting. I passed your book around to a number of my team members, and it really sparked some amazing discussions. For instance, what's wrong with a white lie? What's a white lie? Talk to me, Judy.
Yeah. So, so the people who study deception, they don't necessarily like the term white lie. They would say pro-social lying. And the reason they make a distinction is because a pro-social lie is the lie told for the benefit of someone else, a benevolent lie. Some white lies are benevolent lies, but some white lies can be self-serving. So they tend to refer to it as pro-social lying, which I think is what you're asking. And the thing is, there is actually nothing wrong with pro-social lying. We do it all of the time. But what happens is that we don't have a lot of awareness about these choices that we're making in any given interaction. And we really rely, there's a lot of good research that shows that we, not only do we rely on using these little pro-social lies or sidesteps of kindness, we also like rely on people to do that for us too. So, but what happens is that we're so, we have sayings like honesty is the best policy. And like, we have all these cliches that we say about honesty that number one, we don't even follow. And number two, they're not really true anyway. And so it gets very tangled up very quickly.
Interesting.
I don't know if that answered your, that's kind of a roundabout way of answering your question. And we can talk more about pro-social lies too, because it's very interesting. But, it's not like deception's bad. All deception is bad. It's,
no, understood. The pro-social lie is a fascinating place. I think the term itself, probably most people have never heard that. And I think that they're sitting there going, wow, that's kind of interesting. Let me kind of wrap my head around that. You know, one of the people that I passed this by, I happen to know had a very troubled childhood, not because of what they did. It's just they had a terrible household situation going on. And she found herself, as it were, lying all the time about how she lived. You know, can you come over and play with us, Susie? I'm just using a name. And she would have to say, no, I actually have so much going on. But the real reason why was because her mother was basically a crazy person and, you know, would never allow the children out of the house and back and forth. So she was constantly making stuff up to try to alleviate all of this awkwardness and back and forth. So it's one of those smoothing things out because there's just no other way around it kind of things. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, lies save lives, right? They save reputations, they save lives. So one of the women I interviewed for the book, she grew up, her mother was a hoarder. And so lying was really built into the fabric of the family, you know, like she couldn't have friends over. She, you know, constantly kind of had to lie to keep this. There was such shame behind it. Right. So she constantly had to lie. And I'm not sure that there really would have been any other way to survive that. Right. So, you know, the most extreme example of pro-social lying exists on a continuum. And so we could look at the most extreme example, you know, German citizens who hid Jewish people in their crawl spaces, right, during Nazi Germany. So that's kind of the one end of it, all the way to the more mundane. You know, I give the example in the book of I was swimming laps at the Y one afternoon and suddenly someone was in my lane and they didn't like get my eye contact or my verbal approval before they joined my lane. And I almost crashed into him. And when I was done swimming my laps, I could see that it was this older gentleman and that he just didn't understand the etiquette of how you share a lane with someone. And so I knew I had to tell him something because I was afraid he was going to hurt somebody. And when I said, you know, sir, the etiquette when you're going to share a lane is you have to get, you know, eye contact, you have to make eye contact or really verbal, like you have to make sure the person sees you in the lane. And he was so embarrassed. He was so embarrassed. And without even thinking, I just said, oh, I did the same thing when I first started swimming, and someone had to tell me. And that was a lie. I didn't do the same thing. It did actually seem obvious to me, but I wanted to, like, empathy is such a key value for me. I wanted to kind of, that was my way of extending empathy, to tell that little pro-social lie. And really, there's nothing wrong with that when you're aware of why you're doing it. But so often we're on autopilot and we say these things without a lot of awareness about where it's coming from. Is it coming from a place of empathy? Is it coming from we're just trying to survive? Is it coming from self-interest, or is it coming from ego? Because sometimes we think that it's for the benefit of someone else, but really it's for our own self-interest, or to protect our own ego, or to avoid standing in a really uncomfortable space, but it's somewhere that we need to stand because that's what needs to happen for the situation to move forward. So it's really this continuum, but that all gets glossed over when we don't pay attention, you know, to kind of those day in and day out interactions.
Huh. Okay. So this honesty journal, tell me how someone can actually do an honesty journal, you know, basically a journal or a diary. Because you note that research shows we lie far more than we acknowledge for self-interest and also pro-social reasons. So we think we're honest, but in reality, well, we're not. And we just haven't paid enough close attention. So how does one go about doing this diary or journal?
So all I did, like super low tech, I opened a Google document and I just started writing down each day the choices that I was making about honesty. And the reason I even did a Google document is because a Google document, you can use a computer, you can also have it synced to your phone, so you can kind of write on the go, but you could just do it in a Word document, or you could just write it by hand. There's nothing really fancy about it, other than I always say when you write something down, you think about it far more than you would. If you don't write it down, you know, first of all, you notice, you have the moment where you notice it, and then you think, okay, well, I'm going to write this down in my honesty journal. And then you write it down, and then you probably reread it and you reflect for a minute. And then when you're thinking about your day, you think about it again, probably, and maybe you reread it again. So you've already reflected on a situation 4 or 5 times that if you weren't paying attention, you probably wouldn't, it would have just slipped right under your radar. So that's the benefit to writing it down, is because it puts you in a moment of noticing. And that's when you start to notice, that's when you can learn a lot about yourself and your motives and how honest are you being, and the times when you're telling these little pro-social lies. Are they for someone else's benefit? Are they really because there's some issue that you need to confront? Until you really notice that, it's very easy, at least it was very easy for me, to just not really pay attention, to just instead notice everyone else's dishonesty, because it's really easy to see other people's dishonesty. You know, we have the actor-observer bias, where it's very easy to see other people doing things. It's a little bit harder to spot it in yourself. And keeping that journal is a way to really confront that bias, instead of just living on autopilot.
I love that. I just, this opens up a whole new world. You know, most people will, you know, track the steps they walked, or how many, you know, calories, or how many hours they've eaten, and are they starting into their intermittent fasting? These are all metrics. And those are things we're used to tracking, speaking of high tech. But when it comes to this is a whole different ball game. I mean, even when it comes to meditation, you've got Headspace and Calm and all these apps, and you've got little blings that are saying, boom, you know, it's time for you to meditate. But when's it time to be honest?
Right.
And do you know what I mean? Like, were you honest today? How many times were you honest today? You know, it's just sort of a funny thing. Is this hard for people to grasp? Have you found that when the book came out that people were saying, wow, I don't know if I can do this?
Well, you know, what I found is that when I talk to people about it, first of all, people kind of latch on to the idea of like dishonest world, because we can all see that we're living in a dishonest world, right? They're like, oh my gosh, yes, I don't even know what to believe anymore. I don't know what's true. But then when I talk a little bit more about like, yes, we are living in a dishonest world. This book isn't so much about that, though. It's really more about your own behavior. Then they're like, oh, yeah, on it. Like, then I can kind of see the light in their eyes. They're like, I guess I don't always pay a lot of attention. And so I've had a lot of conversations where, you know, I'll talk about the book, you know, be talking about it, and then someone will come back to me a couple of days later or whatever, and they'll say, you know, I've had the best conversations about honesty with my whatever, my spouse, my friend, my kid, because it gets them thinking about it. It kind of generates these conversations. And one of the things that the research shows, Dan Ariely, who is a behavioral scientist, who's done a ton of research about deception. I'm not sure I could have written the book without reading a lot of what he has written. And one of the things that he has found in his research is that when we're reminded to be honest, whether it's through, you know, whatever method we relate to. So for religious people, if they are given like scripture or something, or for more agnostic people like me, that probably wouldn't do much. But for me, my reminder was that I was keeping an honesty journal. So there were times that I could see myself like on that verge of like, well, I could just, you know, I talk about in the book, and I talked about the New York Times piece, I got extra change back at the McDonald's drive-thru, and like for a minute, I wasn't going to give it back. And then I remembered like, wait a minute, you're keeping an honesty journal. Of course you have to give it back. And probably I would have given it back anyway. I don't know. But the reminder that I was like focused on this is what really was like, of course you're going to give this back. So if we get a reminder about honesty, we're more likely to actually be honest. So that's
That's cool. That keeps it sort of more front and center. Now, I want to pivot here for a second to something else. So
sure.
I was thinking about this, and there's a term called brutally honest, right? And so, for instance, I think what this does, this whole issue of brutally honest, is it opens up the world of how do you message honesty? You want to, you know, provide someone with honest input. And we all have people in our lives who just like blurt it out. Mm-hmm. Like, you look too fat in that outfit. Okay, whoa, there goes a little napalm in your lap. And, you know, it's like, did I really, you know, your presentation to the board wasn't good. It didn't message well. I thought your PowerPoint needed a lot more of this and that and back and forth. Okay, fine. Now, the way I look at it, when I do it, tell me if I'm doing this right here. I look at the individual and I ask myself, what can they handle? I think that some people are 50 times more sensitive for like all kinds of reasons. Could be past trauma, could be anything. But I think they're way sensitive about certain issues. So what I might do is couch it differently. So like I would never be brutally honest to someone who obviously has been challenged with their appearance, whatever. I'd simply say, you know, if you're thinking about buying that outfit, I don't think that's as flattering as, say, this pink outfit. Okay. So I just sort of avoided the whole issue of, you know, everything from weight to, you know, all of that. And simply said it very nicely. And so I'd say to anybody, I'd say, you know, you got a beautiful appearance. Let's really, you know, play that up and let's flatter it. Let's do it. Versus, you know, coming down like a sledgehammer. And I just tend to do that. Now there, interestingly, are people in my life who I can be brutally, I was like, damn, that was the worst I've ever... Girl, what were you thinking? And of course, we'll have a good laugh over it and say, yeah, you know, I should have prepped more and blah, blah, blah. So talk to me about that. Brutal honesty.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things in there. So the first thing I would say is, you know, I have these principles, these honesty principles in the book. I have 11 of them. And so one of them is say what you mean, but don't be a jerk. Because I think we do sometimes, you know, people will say, well, I'm just being honest. And then they proceed to say something, you know, terrible. So like one of the key things I try to get across is honesty is not an excuse to just say whatever you want. You know, I have this conversation with my kids, they're 9 and 11. And I say, you know, listen, there's this key thing. It's called your opinion is not always needed. Right. So, I mean, I think that's the first thing is honesty is not an excuse to be unkind. The other thing, so you really hit on something when you said, you know, what can they handle? And so the way I would reframe that, not that that's wrong, but the way, like in terms of what the research says about pro-social lying is what will benefit the person the most? Right. And so timing, like you brought this up, you know, if you're shopping with someone and you're trying on outfits and they put something on and it is not flattering, that is an opportunity to say, you know, you could find the positive, like, wow, that color is great. Oh my gosh, it makes your eyes look wonderful. I'm not sure about the silhouette of it. Could we try, you know, what if we tried to find a silhouette that was XYZ? So you focus on the positive and then you do try to offer something honest, because if they're asking you for your opinion, you don't want them to buy something that really isn't flattering. That's different than if they've already bought it and, you know, they're trying it on for you. And in that moment, does your opinion help? Like it's already done. So it's some of it is a matter of timing. Like, can you say something that is actually going to help the situation? Or at a certain point, is it just about trying to focus on the positive? Someone, your friend comes and like, oh, I got this new purse. Don't you just love it? And maybe you hate it. But is your opinion needed? You know, could you just say, oh, it's so great. Isn't it so great when you buy something new? I love the feeling. That's what Lizzie Post, you know, the etiquette expert Lizzie Post, she really opts for the sidestep where you try to find a way to focus on the interaction in a positive way. So timing is really, I think, key in those interactions. Is it helpful?
I just think
do you have something helpful or not?
Well, this is really cool because I think this is really enlightening to our Her Podcast listeners who are sitting back saying, how honest am I? How am I really interacting with people? Am I using sensitivity? Am I, you know, going to a place where I can navigate with class and elegance, especially in tougher situations? And really, I think maybe everyone out there in Her Podcast land can kind of hit the pause button for a second and think about that. And after you hit the pause button and think about it, you need to run out and get the book. The book is Would I Lie to You? The Amazing Power of Being Honest in a World That Lies. And what's the best website where they can learn more about your wonderful work, Judy?
Probably just my website. So it's my name, Judy Kettler, which is JudiKettler.com. There's a little link that says honesty book, or there's lots of ways on my site to get to the page that has the book, and you can read a little bit more about it, read some of the reviews, click around some of the articles that I've written or other people have written, and links will take you through to order it however
Excellent.
You prefer to order it.
All right, everyone, you've heard from Judy Kettler, and she is the author of this fabulous book. All you got to remember is, would I lie to you? Would I lie to you? Listen, Judy, thanks so much for being on the Her Podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me. It was such a great conversation. I really
awesome.
Appreciate it.
All right, everyone out there, please take a minute and now hit the iTunes button and rate and review the show, because we want to hear from you. all good, because this, I don't know, this is a real discussion starter, isn't it? All right. Well, listen, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.